It's amazing to be able to know that there's a spiritual realm and we have this ability to engage the spiritual realm. Now, I want to start with a story that sort of took me a bit by surprise a couple of years ago when my wife and I one morning woke up and, you know, in our backyard, we found all these little tortoises, and every second day we found another one. And then after about 3 or 4 days, my little son came running into our room probably about 2 o'clock in the morning, and he said, Dad, you know, come and help because there's a man with a black coat on and a black cat standing in our corridor, and you must come and chase him away. He's evil, he said. And sort of as I stood up, obviously there was nothing in the natural, but I realized that there's a spiritual world, and we realized that we were under attack because people were doing astral projection into our home. And these visitations happened for a couple of nights. And also these tortoises appearing all over our backyard. And if you know, especially our backyard is closed, there's no way that they can get in. Somebody had to throw it over the fence. And then we started to just pray and have communion and started to break the onslaught of the evil one over our home, because we got sick. Lots of stuff started to happen, and we realized that there's something against us, and it's much more than just the natural. And I think especially for Christians in the West, we need to be challenged by the fact that, you know, we just look at the natural and then we have sort of a spiritual world, but we cannot have a dualistic approach to life. Everything we do and everything we engage in, there's a spiritual war. And Paul writes about this. He says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. He talks about the rulers of this dark age. And then he also talks about the spiritual host of wickedness in high places. We can find that in Ephesians 6 verse 12. He says there's a place, obviously, in our own thoughts and in our minds, how we have to take every thought captive. He said that specifically in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 1 to 5. He says that's where it starts. Otherwise, in our thoughts, that thing becomes an argument, becomes a high thing, eventually becomes a stronghold. So yes, there's personal stuff and renewing of our mind that needs to happen. But as we walk through this world and as we walk in this world, we need to know that there's a massive spiritual war going on. And we need to understand, how do we engage this world? How do we see and understand what's happening? Because even scripture says very clearly that, you know, we must entertain strangers, because sometimes they'll be angels. And I had an opportunity just a couple of weeks ago where we were on a mission trip to India, and we had to get through the customs, and we just were very late and lots of things were going wrong. And a little man appeared and just suddenly took us, we were 27 in the group, took us to another place and through another route. And within 5 minutes, we booked in and went through customs where the pilots go of the airplanes. And the one guy, still the pilot standing next to me, asked, how on earth did you get here? And as I turned around, I said, that guy has brought us here. And then suddenly there was no guy. And all of us went through. And we later only realized that that was an angel. So many times we have interventions of God's messengers and angelic beings, but also in the spiritual dark world. And we're going to talk about this in the next couple of sessions, of how do we understand it and how do we engage it. And especially when we start to deal with the communities that we're in and the places that God sent us to, when we want to do church planting, sometimes we just go blindfoldedly into a place and just say, oh Lord, I trust things are going to be all right and I trust things are going to happen. But we need to have discernment. You know, all of us have got a spiritual witness, and the Holy Spirit wants to help us to see. And that's specifically what Paul also writes. And he says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding will open up, that you might see who God is and what God is doing. And so that's what this is about. Really just getting to know the similitude of God and the fullness of God and the greatness of God. But we need to sharpen up, and we need to sharpen our tools and the weapons God has given us. He says that we must put on our weapon every day. You know, the breastplate of righteousness, the girdle of truth, the sword of the word, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the readiness on our feet to preach the word. So there's almost like a battle that we're in every day. And so where we start is we need to learn the principle of consecration. Everything we do, whether it's a business deal or whether we go and we drive in our cars, wherever we go, we need to learn to consecrate things and really pray for God's not just protection, but for his discernment and a wisdom how to handle every situation. And that's why we must ask God for wisdom, especially in the days that we're living. You know, there's a lot of things happening in the Middle East. And if we understand what's happening, we will begin to discern and know that we are really drawing to the end of times. And that's what the prophetic intercession and warfare means, is that we are prophetically in tune with what God is saying. You know, in the Old Testament, it says that they were the sons of Issachar because they were great because they could discern the times and the seasons that they were in. And many people, we just go through life as if things just happen, you know, just by chance. But you know, there's nothing that is by chance with God. And this is how we also need to understand the realms that we're in. You know, scripture is very clear on the fact that there are three realms. And the realm that God dwells in is called the heaven of heavens. You can find that in Nehemiah 9 verse 6, or the third heaven in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 2. It also talks about that. And within God's heaven, there is absolutely no limitations, not time, not space. And sometimes we have to sort of get our minds around this and try to get our minds around this. I don't think it's really possible, because we are all limited to space and to time and to physical things. And so we try to box everything in, and that's why simply we can't just invite God into our world and say, oh God, come and serve me, come and do what I want to do. No, we must say, God, I want to see what you are doing, because everything we do and say has got a limitation. It's limited to space, to time and things. But with God, there is no limitation. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. God is all-knowing. He's all-powerful. And that's the amazing thing. When we, through the Holy Spirit, have access to what God is doing, we can also access that realm. And there are many scriptures that will refer to that we have, for instance, received everything that pertains to life and godliness in Jesus Christ. And a good book to read in the Bible is the book of Ephesians, especially Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, where it talks about our position in Christ. He says, not just is Christ in us, but we are also seated with Christ in heavenly places. And we need to learn and to understand our spiritual position. I love just, you know, what happened with Stephen. When Stephen was martyred, Jesus, he said, he looked up into the heavens and he saw Jesus standing up at the right hand of the Father, receiving him and walking into that place of the kingdom of God, because he could right see into that realm and access that realm of what and where God was and what God was doing. And very interesting that Stephen was actually standing up. He wasn't seated as Jesus was standing up. And so it's almost like God receives the martyrs in a very specific way, in a special way, when we go to heaven and there's martyrdom and the laying down of lives. And so we need to understand there's this heavenly realm where God dwells, no time, no space, no limitations. And that's why even when God looks at us, it's almost like life here on earth is a parenthesis or an interruption of time. It's sort of just two brackets, and we live between these two brackets. But with God, there's eternity, and it's so amazing that we have that access. Obviously, there's also a second realm, or the second heaven that Scripture refers to, and that's where the devil dwells, and it's sort of the realm above the earth, or the second heaven, and that's where he has been thrown down to. And obviously, demonic forces also have authority in a place of dwelling here with us, and many times inhabiting people. And we're going to talk about that. How does fallen angels work and demons and all that stuff in another session. But the devil is, for instance, limited to his authority in the sense that he doesn't know the future. The devil cannot read your mind, for instance. But he can plant a lot of thoughts there. And that's why Scripture says we must put up the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. Because every day he's throwing thoughts at us. And when we give in to those thoughts, it becomes arguments and eventually strongholds if we don't put up the shield of faith. And then also have the sword of the Spirit, which is a close range weapon that we need to come very close because of this battle that we're in. And so he dwells in that second realm. And we need to understand that we don't have authority over the devil in the second realm. There's a lot of charismatic type of prayer and things going on that is very harmful to us, because we take on powers and principalities that we have no authority to do. And I want to talk a bit about that, because in our realm where we dwell, we have authority over especially demons in people's lives. Scripture says that we will cast out demons, we'll heal the sick. It's part of the gospel. It's not just like preach the gospel and then sometimes some specialized people go and deal with the demonic stuff. But especially when it comes to demons inhabiting people, living in people's lives, then we have authority over that. We also have authority over physical buildings, and we have authority over any influence that these demonic forces may have. And that's why it's so powerful when we do prayer walking. That's why it's so powerful when we pray over our houses and invite the Holy Spirit in. Take oil and consecrate it, because that's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. But like I said, many of us engage in a spiritual realm and in a spiritual level that we are not allowed to do. We have, for instance, see that the Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness to be confronted by the devil. And then there's the big temptation. And it happens in three ways. And we haven't got too much time to go into that, but please go and study it. Because Jesus doesn't walk around and say, "Oh, I bind you, devil. Get behind me." Because the devil had a certain authority to offer him certain things. And the devil also quoted scripture. And then Jesus would say, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." But yet the devil could give him and could offer him the kingdoms of this world. The devil could offer him and say, "If you could turn these little stones into bread, you know." And Jesus said, "No, that's not the will of God." And very simply, one of the temptations there was just the fact that all these people would come out to the wilderness if Jesus turned those little stones, lots of them, probably thousands of them, into bread. They would come out and they would eat that bread or pick it up, and then Jesus would have his audience, and people would reverence him and people would make him king. But it would be outside of the will of God, and it would be a false authority and a false power that he could only gain through the cross. And so that was a big challenge, but there was a massive temptation. And yet the good thing there that we see is that the Holy Spirit actually led him. God is in control, and we need to understand that God is sovereign. And even the powers and principalities and the rulers and the spiritual hosts of wickedness, they're all subject to God's authority. They have got a certain authority in a certain age, and we as believers must go and take back that authority that has been given to us. To rule the world right at the beginning and to reign over the earth. And that's why I love scriptures like Romans chapter 8 that says, the whole earth, the whole of creation is eagerly awaiting in anticipation the revelation of the sons of God. We should actually wake up every day and just stand up and to say to the mountains, "Mountain, I'm a son of God. You've been waiting for me. Sun, you've been coming up today. Here I am, a son of God." Because even nature is waiting for an authority to be released through us as the children of God, to speak to it and to be able to command the wind to stop and the storms to stop and the silence to come into the waves, and that's where we can speak God's peace over places. So God has given us a certain authority over nature, over lots of people, especially to pray for our communities. And that's so important that we walk in that fullness. But our challenge is, especially when it comes to binding and loosing, we have this jargon that we run in, and people would walk into a town. And I remember one day we had this big intercession meeting, and a group of international intercessors came in, and we were sitting in this big conference room, and there were like these very heavy chairs. And then the guy said, "Okay, before we can start this meeting, we must first bind out the demons and cast out the demons out of the chairs." It was like this black, beautiful black wood, heavy chairs. And he says, "Can you feel, pick it up? Because it feels so heavy. It's so full of demons, And I thought, like, after 3 minutes, I got such a headache, because I realized, my God, this guy is so off doctrinally to just how the spiritual world works. And then I realized later, he's not even baptized, the guy leading this big thing. And I realized, whoa, that's obviously why his wife is in hospital all the time, and his children is sick all the time. And there I learned a very specific lesson in the fact that, if you are going to step outside of the boundaries that God has set for us as believers, then the devil can hurt you. You know, Luke chapter 10, verse 17 to 19 says, you know, I give you all authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and by no means will they hurt you. And yet we experience a lot of that hurt because we don't understand the order in which the spiritual realm works. God only works in divine order. And when we move ourselves out of that place of order, we can get hurt. And so running around and binding stuff and coming against powers and principalities isn't really biblical, but we do have an authority to pray for people. You know, let me give you another example. In Mark chapter 5, this man comes running down. It actually says in another gospel that there were two people in the tombs up there, and they had so much power, they couldn't even chains couldn't hold them. They could just break the chains. But in Mark chapter 5, we read of this one man running down. And then when he comes down, he's got a legion of demons inside of them. And they say, when they get to Jesus, they say, "What have we got to do with you, Son of the Most High God?" Because do you know what? Demons, the powers and principalities, all of them recognize the authority of Jesus. We saw it also with Paul and with lots of examples in Scripture with the seven sons of Sceva in Acts, you know, where the demons say to those sons that wanted to cast out demons, they say, you know, "Paul we know and Jesus we know, but who are you?" You know, because they were not saved and they didn't have an authority to do that. They just learned that the name of Jesus is powerful and they try to cast out demons. But getting back to this story in Mark chapter 5, we need to understand, you know, these demons come, this man falls before Jesus, he's come around, running down from the tombs, he falls before him. The demons say, "This is who you are." They confess who Jesus is. And then this funny thing happens, or it's not really funny, but it's sort of weird if we don't understand the spiritual realm. The demons say, "Please just have mercy on us, Jesus, and don't cast us out of this region." And then it almost looks like Jesus obeys them and he takes the demons and he casts them into the pigs, and the pigs run off the cliff and they die. And you think like, how did that work? Jesus, why didn't you just cast them out? Why didn't you sort of listen to what? Because do you know what? Jesus had respect for the spiritual realm and he knew exactly what order and even geographically in what area those demons could operate and what they could not operate. And so just as we have this spiritual realm of God's angels, of God's archangels and what's happening in heaven, and we're going to talk about that, we also need to have respect for what the devil is doing and his authority. Obviously, we should never be afraid, because sometimes, especially when it comes to deliverance ministries, we motivate people by fear. And the more fear there is, or the more we see the demons, and especially when it comes to the gift of discerning of spirits, remember there's not a gift of discernment, but there is a gift of discerning of spirits, what the scripture talks about, you know, then people see so many demons. And that's all they see. They see demons behind every bush. But you know what? The gift of the discerning of spirits is actually more about seeing what God does and the similitude of God and the glory of God and where God moves. Because in any case, there are 2/3 are angels and 1/3 are demons. And we need to encounter actually much more angels than just the darkness. So many of what we're doing many times is fear motivated. So in this prophetic act of warfare and declaration and understanding the spiritual realm, the one foothold that we need to warn each other of is this thing called fear. Because the moment when we open up our hearts to fear, then the devil will come in and there will be confusion and doubt and unbelief and mind-binding spirits. Lots of stuff will have an authority over our lives. And just on the side, we need to be very careful and remain scriptural on the different kinds of demons and naming for demons that we get. And we're going to talk about that as well, because sometimes people get so spooky about saying there's a spirit of pride. But you know what? Scripture does not talk about a spirit of pride. Scripture talks about a haughty spirit. And you know, we sometimes just talk to a spirit of lust, but there's actually a perverse spirit and lying spirits and lots of different kinds of spirits that may influence us. But let's be careful. So when we don't know, we just say the spirit that causes the lust, maybe. That's a good way to pray. But we must remain biblical when it comes to these engagement of the spiritual realm and what happens out there. And in the next session, we're going to talk more about that. How do we engage in some scriptural examples on that? Thank you very much.